has given us. I can say I hope your day started off better than mine did. I got up, got ready to come down here, and the power went out. And it still wasn't on even when we left here. So you're a bit grubby today, but we'll manage. But that was the start of my day. What do we got for announcements? Let me see. We got Monday, Memorial Day is the 26th. And our birthdays and anniversary celebration is going to be the 25th of the month. Cupcakes, candy, ice cream, normal stuff. So come on in and join us for that. Don't forget it. Let me see. I think that's all I've got. Does anybody have any other announcements? What's that? The concert that Gloria told us about is today. If you want to go, you want to give details again? Stay there. I'll get you the mic.
The concert is in Oak Ridge. It's at the Unitarian Church there, 809 Oak. I had it all written down last time. Anyways, it's 809 Oak Ridge Turnpike, something. Anyways, I'm sorry. The concert is at 3 o'clock, but we are doing a Memorial Day concert. So if you'd like to come.
Anybody else? Okay. Thank you.
Good morning. You'll have to excuse me this morning. I have a frog. Lovely Tennessee weather. The first song that we're going to sing is From All That Dwell the Skies. Please stand.
Heavenly Father, as we gather in your name, we humbly seek your divine guidance during this worship service. Be the beacon that illuminates our path, the compass that directs our hearts, and the wisdom that guides our thoughts. May your presence be felt in every word spoken and in every note that we sing. We trust in your infinite wisdom, and we pray for your guidance to lead us down the righteous path. May your light shine upon us, O Lord, as we navigate the challenges of life. Grant us the clarity of vision to see your will, and more importantly, the strength to follow it. In your holy name, we offer our gratitude, and we say, Amen.
Our first hymn is on 568, Christ for the World Would Sing.
The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices, and my body also dwells secure. You show me the path of life. Today we got a bunch of joys. Number one, I want to thank everybody in the congregation for making my job easier over the last few months. You have no idea how much I appreciate that when I come in here, everything that needs to be done has been and is done. I haven't had to worry. As a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was very surprised, but for the first time, something didn't go 100% right, and we didn't have cookie cake and ice cream stuff. But I mean, in general, communion's always set up, pediments are always changed, cookies, cakes, and ice cream come. You people are a great deal, a very, very huge asset to the church and to me. But today, I want to give some special thanks and joys to some other people. We've had a very, very busy past couple of weeks here, and Nancy and all her people who helped, the trustees, we've done a fantastic job. In the last few weeks, not only have we started mowing again this season, but we also managed to whack down the 3 and 4 foot tall grass out in the backyard, which was beginning to look like a hayfield more than a field. So that was good. We wanted to get the air conditioning going. The heat was time to go. That in itself is a little bit of a process, but we had a problem. The coils on the condensing unit on the chiller weren't just dirty, they were plugged. So we managed to get those cleaned up very well and very quickly. And then we had the chiller had to be turned on. That's a complex little thing. There's a lot of valves and stuff that have to be done, and that got done. I'm gonna talk a little bit more about that later. And then lastly, unfortunately, in the last set of storms, we had a really big tree limb come down and completely cover over the picnic tables up front. So that got all cut up, trimmed up, and piled up and ready to be taken away by the town sometime next week or so. So I just want to give a lot of thanks. There's a lot of people who do a lot of work, who do a lot of help to this church. It's deeply appreciated. I'm sure just not by me, but by everybody. It's a good thing. We got some concerns. Let's say a prayer for Richard. He's not been feeling well. And although I don't want to go into names for all the people who did all this work that I've just talked about and who do it continually, I do want to give Richard special thanks. He hasn't been feeling good for the past few days, and yet he still did manage to come down here and take a decent amount of time and switch that heating and air conditioning system over to AC. You know, he disconnected the boiler, did all the valves, and hooked up the chiller, got the chiller running. So we're cool this morning and we're not hot. So I want to give a little bit of thanks to him and ask you to pray for him. A joy is that India and Pakistan have made some peace and they're not going to go to war. And I always worry about those guys because they both have nukes and they both tend to be a little bit more hot-headed when it comes to disagreements between themselves. So that's a good thing. In the meantime, I wish that we would end all the other wars and strife going on in the world. It's not any good. It's not any help. And I guess the last joy is I read the other day that the new Pope has actually come out, and one of his first official stances is that he is reinforcing the Catholic Church. They're not condemning, but they are definitely discouraging any form or way or shape or manner homosexual marriages and that kind of a thing. And they're also reaffirming the church's stance against abortion, both of which I personally think is a good thing. Everybody may have their own opinions, but I think it's a sign of Christian values being reinforced by at least one major religion. And that's all I've got, I believe, for joys or concerns. Does anybody have any others? I hope I didn't forget anything or anyone. Heavenly Father, open our eyes to see the divine appointments you placed in our paths. Give us the obedience to follow your guidance, even when it leads us to unexpected places. Help us to develop spiritual awareness to discern the opportunities that exist all around us. Give us wisdom for meaningful conversations that will point people to Jesus. And grant us the courage for immediate action when you call us to respond. We ask this so that we might participate in your redemptive work in the lives of those all around us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, we give you thanks for the blessings you have bestowed upon us. As we offer these tithes and offerings, we do so with graceful hearts. And may these gifts be used to assist us in continuing your work in this, your church, and in our community. Amen. And will the ushers please come forward?
Our next hymn is "And Are We Yet Alive" on 553.
To change anything, but we're going to try something different this week, and we'll see how it goes. If people like the idea, please let me know when you leave or send me a text or something. And what I'm going to do is, I know that when I was sitting out there in the congregation and everything, we'd read the scripture. You didn't always have them up on the screen, and by the time the message came and we talked about them, you sort of have forgot about what they said, or you may not have caught the meaning when they were read prior to the message. So what I'm going to try today, and I've done it in the past, is I'm going to build the scripture reading into the body of the message. Yeah, it makes a little bit more work for me, actually a lot more. But I just want to give it a try and see how it goes. It might be more meaningful to have the scriptures read right when we're discussing those particular scriptures in the message than before. Like I say, let me know how it goes. See what you think. Today's message and the ones coming up in the next couple of weeks are definitely true. And I want you to know that this is a personal profession to start with. My journey through the church 10 or 15 years ago started by a congregation that was very welcoming and very caring. It was followed up by some people in the congregation and the pastor's wife who definitely drew me in to church life and church activities. And this continued when I returned from South Carolina to Tennessee, where I had an entire congregation plus several pastors and a deacon who encouraged me and who led me down this path to where I'm actually standing here today. I was also greatly influenced by a handful of people at work who, through their actions and their words and just the way they were, their being, influenced me to want to be like them. So this is just a personal thing. What we do out in the world does matter. It matters a lot. It can influence people. And I firmly believe that if even 1 out of 100 or 1 out of 1,000 people is influenced by our actions and our words and our deeds, it's worth every bit of it if we can begin and bring them into a Christian lifestyle. So, We're talking about divine appointments in daily life today. And it started off with a story. In 1855, a Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball, he felt a burden to speak to one of his students about his relationship with Christ. Now, the young man he was going to talk to worked in a shoe store in Boston, and Kimball was nervous about approaching him in his workplace. So after much hesitation, he finally walked into the store. He found the young clerk in the back room stocking the shoes, and he awkwardly started to talk to him. Now, that seemingly random encounter led to the conversion of Dwight L. Moody, who would become one of the most influential evangelists of the 19th century. And he reached an estimated 100 million people with the gospel. So what appeared to be an ordinary conversation between a Sunday school teacher and a shoe clerk was actually a divine appointment. It was a moment orchestrated by God that would impact countless lives for generations to come. Now, history is filled with such examples of seemingly chance encounters that to change the courses of many lives, of communities, and even nations. But from God's perspective, there are no chance encounters. There are only divine appointments, intersections he has arranged for his own purposes. One of the most dramatic divine appointments recorded in Scripture is found in Acts 8, verse 26 to 40, where Philip the evangelist meets an Ethiopian official on a desert road. Their encounter was brief, perhaps lasting only an hour or two, but its impact was eternal. Now, this story provides a powerful template for recognizing and responding to the divine appointments God places in our own daily lives. Now, the truth is, God orchestrates divine appointments in our everyday lives, and recognizing these moments requires spiritual alertness and, just as important, willing obedience. Now, the story begins with specific guidance from God. And in Acts 8, verse 26, it tells us, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" Now, this direction came at an interesting time in Philip's ministry. Acts 8, 5 to 8 tells us that he had been in Samaria, where God was using him powerfully. So Acts says, "Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city." So Philip, per the scripture, was experiencing tremendous success. Crowds were gathered, miracles were happening, and people were responding to the gospel. Yet God directed him away from this thriving ministry to a desert road, and he didn't explain why. Now, this instruction must have seemed puzzling. Why leave a place of successful ministry for an uncertain assignment in the middle of a desert? Now, this pattern of divine guidance appears throughout Scripture. Genesis 12, verse 1 records God's call to Abraham. "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you.' So Abraham was directed to leave everything familiar to go to an unknown destination. And young Samuel, he experienced divine guidance in 1 Samuel 3, verse 10. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." So God's voice came unexpectedly in the night, but it did come. And lastly, in Acts 16, verses 9 and 10, Paul receives guidance through a vision. During the night, Paul had the vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So how do we recognize God's guidance towards divine appointments in our own lives? First, we do it through scripture and through prayer. God's word sensitizes us to his voice, and it reveals his priorities. Regular prayer attunes our hearts to his leading. And secondly, we do it through godly counsel and through circumstances. Others may see opportunities or connections that we may miss. And God often arranges circumstances to position us for divine appointments. And third, through the inner prompting of the Holy Spirit. Now, John 16, verse 13 reminds us that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Now, these promptings may come as a persistent thought, a burden for a specific person, or an inexplicable sense that God wants us to take a certain action. Now, the key here is obedience. Philip didn't question the directive or delay his response. Acts 8, verse 27 simply states, "So he started out." Divine appointments begin with divine direction, but they require our willing response. Now, divine direction must be followed by spiritual discernment. Acts 8, verses 27 to 29 continues that, "And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake," which means queen to the Ethiopians. Now, this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Philip's spiritual awareness allowed him to recognize this moment as a divine appointment. And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Now notice the details. Philip not only approached the chariot, but he was attentive enough to hear what the man was reading. He was spiritually alert to the significance of this moment. Now, the Ethiopian official represented a different culture, a different social status, and possibly a racist background from Philip. He was a high-ranking government official from a distant land. Yet Philip overcame these potential barriers because he was spiritually aware enough to see beyond surface differences, to see the divine appointment that he had at hand. Now, we face many barriers to such discernment today. First, we have to deal with busyness and distractions. Our attention is constantly pulled in multiple directions by notifications, deadlines, and demands. Divine appointments are easily missed when we're rushing from one activity to the next. Secondly, there are cultural and societal differences. Like Philip, we may encounter people who differ us in backgrounds, beliefs, and status. Now, these differences can become barriers if we allow them to prevent meaningful connection. And third, our own agendas and our own expectations. We often have fixed ideas about what ministry should look like. This causes us to overlook many divine appointments that God places directly in our path. Now, how can we develop greater spiritual awareness to see these appointments? Well, we can practice what Brother Lawrence called the presence of God. What is that? It's a conscious awareness of God's presence in every activity and every interaction. Now, this means turning ordinary encounters into opportunities for prayer, opportunities to ask God to help us see people as He sees them. Now, we can look for divine appointments in unexpected places. Philip found one on a desert road with a foreign official. Now, God may arrange appointments for us in the checkout line, in waiting rooms, in neighborhood gatherings, or in workplace conversations. And finally, we can specifically ask God to open our eyes to the people around us. Proverbs 20, verse 12 reminds us that ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord, He has made them both. Now, once Philip saw the divine appointment, he engaged in meaningful conversation. And so we'll go back to Acts 8, verse 30. Do you understand what you were reading? Philip asked. Notice how Philip began, not with a presentation, not with a proclamation, but with a question. He met the Ethiopian at his point of spiritual interest, engaging him with what was already on his mind. Now, this approach demonstrated both sensitivity and wisdom. Now, the Ethiopian's response reveals his openness. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And this comes from Acts verse 31. As the conversation deepened, the Ethiopian then asked, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And that's from Acts 8, verse 34. Now, this led to the divine appointment. Acts 35 tells us that Philip began with that very passage of Scripture, and he told him the good news about Jesus. The conversation moved naturally from the Ethiopian's question to the gospel message. So what principles can we learn from this exchange? First, we learn that meaningful conversations often begin with genuine questions, questions that invite dialogue rather than a monologue. Questions demonstrate interest in the other person, and they create space for them to express their own thoughts and their own concerns. And second, the focus of the conversation was Jesus. Regardless of where divine appointments begin, discussing current events, personal struggles, philosophical questions, whatever it may be, their ultimate purpose is to point people towards Christ. As Philip demonstrated, we can begin wherever people are, but we should always guide the conversation towards Jesus. And third, the Holy Spirit guided the timing and the content of the conversation. Philip didn't follow some predetermined script. He remained sensitive to the Spirit's teaching and leading through the encounter. The same passage of Scripture might have led to very different conversations with different individuals. In our own divine appointments, meaningful conversations require both preparation and flexibility. Now, 1 Peter 3, verse 15, it instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you and to give the reason for the hope that you have. Now, we need to remember that this preparation should never become a rigid formulation that ignores the unique needs and questions of the person before us. Every circumstance can, will, and may be different. Now, the divine appointment culminated in some decisive actions. Again, we'll go to Acts 8, verses 36 and 38. And it says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Now the Ethiopian responded to the message with immediate obedience. He didn't delay or overthink his response. He recognized the truth. He embraced it wholeheartedly, and he acted upon it. And he did this without any hesitation. Now, take notice also of how he removed barriers to obedience. What did he say? He said, and he gave orders to stop the chariot. As a high-ranking official with important responsibilities, he could have found many reasons to postpone his baptism. Instead, what did he do? He prioritized his spiritual commitment above all else. The divine appointment concluded as suddenly as it began. Acts 8, again, verses 39 and 40 tells us, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way, rejoicing. Philip, however, he appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all of the towns until he reached Caesarea. Both Philip and the Ethiopian continued their journeys. Now, they were physically in different directions, but they were now spiritually united in purpose. The Ethiopian returned to his homeland rejoicing, carrying the gospel message with him. Now, according to church tradition, he became the first to introduce Christianity to Ethiopia, and he established one of the world's oldest Christian communities. So now, how can we follow through on divine appointments today? First, we must be prepared for immediate response. This means being ready to pray with somebody, to share our testimony, to provide practical help, or to offer biblical guidance when the opportunity arises. And second, we need to remove obstacles to obedience. These obstacles might be fear of rejection, concern about others' opinions, busy schedules, or possibly getting outside of our comfort zone. Like the Ethiopian, we must be willing to stop the chariot when God presents us with an opportunity. And finally, we must continue the mission after the appointment ends. Philip, he didn't retire after this significant encounter. He traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns. Divine appointments aren't isolated events, but links in the ongoing chain of God's work in and through our lives. Now, divine appointments are directed by God's guidance, and they're seen and discerned through spiritual awareness, and they're delivered through meaningful conversation, and they're demonstrated through and by immediate action. They don't just happen in church buildings or mission fields, but in ordinary places and in everyday encounters. So think about your upcoming week. What if the person you stand next to in the checkout line, what if that person represents a divine appointment? What if God has orchestrated this seemingly random encounter for eternal purposes? So I'll challenge you this week to approach each and every day expecting divine appointments. Begin each morning by asking God to direct your path towards the people He wants you to meet. Practice spiritual awareness in ordinary settings and conversations, looking beyond the surface to discern where God might be going or doing or leading you. Be prepared to engage meaningfully with those God's bring across your path, and follow through with appropriate action when God presents you with an opportunity. Remember, we may never know the full impact of our obedience to divine appointments. Now, I'm going to add something here. With all those people that I mentioned when I started this message, very few of them now realize or know, or have even an inkling that I'm standing up here preaching and as the pastor of this church. They planted the seed, they nurtured it, they watered it, they grew it, and our path went away. We differed. Some are in Indiana now, some are still in South Carolina. They're all over the place. They don't know where I'm at now, and they don't know how they impacted my lives. Not that it matters, but you never know. You never know how you may have run into somebody years ago and what impact you may have had on their lives and where they may be now. Now, Edward Kimball, he certainly couldn't have imagined how his nervous conversation with a shoe clerk would ultimately impact millions. And Philip, he couldn't have foreseen the establishment of Ethiopian Christianity through his desert road encounter. So similarly, your obedience to divine appointments may have ripple effects far, far beyond what you can or ever will see. A conversation with a coworker might lead to their salvation, and it might eventually impact their entire family. A word of encouragement to a struggling teenager might redirect his life's path. And a moment to a stranger might open their heart to the gospel message that they'll hear from somebody else. May we, like Philip, be people who are directed by divine guidance, who see appointments through spiritual awareness, who deliver the message through meaningful conversations, and who demonstrate commitment through immediate action. For when we do, we participate in God's ongoing work of drawing people to Him through divine intersections in daily life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.
Jesus, 416.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Go now in peace with God, with each other, and just as importantly, with yourself. Amen.